to see you here this morning. Wouldn't that be a blessing to have revival in the White House? I tell you how it's going to have to start, though. It's going to have to be revival in your house and my house. And then take it into the church house. Church ain't going to have no revival that breaks out in the house. The reason our church is in a mess is because our homes are in a mess. And so, 1 John 4, the Bible says that in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm glad I don't have to have an addiction holding me this morning as a child of God. The Holy Ghost breaks the chains of sin. They are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's where our White House is today. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Isn't that amazing? Now herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction of a God's holy law for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. We ought. We ought. Also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. If the Holy Ghost don't live in you, you're not going to heaven this morning. We've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in Him and He in God. You'll never bypass Jesus and get to heaven. He's not some way. He's the way. He's the only way. The Muslims of this country say that they're serving Allah, our God. Honey, they ain't serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll not get to the God of this Bible if you bypass His way. His way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said these words, and we've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Honey, let me tell you something. You didn't find the Lord. He wasn't lost. If you saved, He found you. Because we love Him because He first loved us. You know, watch this now. If a man say that I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Thank you for standing this morning. I will preach on this simple text on the love of God. The love of God. I want to say, first of all, there is the reading of God's love. The reading of God's love. In John 3:16, an old familiar verse. My goodness, we think it's so elementary, but it is so profound. In John's Gospel, chapter number 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I like this word, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I've heard people talk about Baptists and say, "Preacher, where do you get that saved word? It's a Bible word. And it only comes by the love of God." We find that it is the reading of God's love. You'll notice, first of all, He is the greatest possible gift that He could give. Look what He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave." The greatest possible gift, He gave His Son. He gave a gift that everybody needs. I wonder, has anybody ever got a gift that you really didn't need? I mean, can I preach to somebody this morning? Has somebody ever went to a place and they gave you something and you said, "Well, my goodness, how nice." And you got to thinking, "I got four of them in the closet." Amen. But boy, ain't it something that God gave everybody something that everybody needs. From the poorest slave to the highest representative, male, female, black or white, honey, God gave the best gift that He could give. And that was His Son. He gave the best possible gift. Number two, you'll notice also, He gave the greatest possible plan. He said, "Whosoever believeth." I like that. You know, a lot of times you can't get in somebody's organization. You have to have qualifications. I can tell you the only qualification to be born in God's family this morning is to believe in the only begotten Son of God. To believe upon Him by faith. I'm glad in this thing of the reading of God's love. We see the greatest possible gift. We see the greatest possible plan. And we see the greatest possible possession. The Bible said that he that believeth on Him should have everlasting life. Now this morning, everybody, under the sound of my voice, you're going to die. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Honey, when you open your eyes in hell because you bypass Christ, you'll go back to this time and hour when God sent you a gospel message about the love of God. You see, when at judgment day, it's not about our good works. We're saved by grace this morning. It's not living a life of doing good. And then when we meet our allotted day, we wait and see if our good outweighed our bad. Honey, the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. I don't know about you, but I'll take grace any day. I'll take mercy any day. Honey, let me tell you, oh, I didn't need justice. If God would have given me justice, I'd been in hell this morning. But He gave me grace, and He gave me mercy. I was reading what an old writer said last night about grace. It means just simply everything God give us for nothing. Ain't you glad that grace come by your way and showed you mercy and allowed you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And you is gloriously saved by the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad He still saves those sinners this morning. Now we see the reading of God's love. Number two, there is the revealing of God's love. In Romans 5 and verse number 6, aren't you glad we've got a God that loves us today? Romans 5, the Bible says, and in verse number 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." I like this word, Brother Tim. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood." By the way, it's still the blood. "We shall be saved from wrath through Him." The revealing of God's love. You say, "Preacher, how is it revealed to us?" I'm glad you asked me. 1 Peter chapter number 1 I want to say the truth of His book. The truth of His book. In 1 Peter chapter number 1. And the Bible says in verse number 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." I'm glad that God's love is revealed to me by the truth of this book. Thank God for the men of God. I'm glad He's still calling men to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the men that will preach it without apologetics, without compromise, and tell you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there's a great God and a great Jesus and a wonderful Holy Ghost. I'm glad by the truth of this book that it has been revealed to me about the love of God. Wouldn't it be something if our Bible was hid from us and we'd never know it about the love of God? Oh my, what a Bible. Well, what a God. What a story. Ain't it amazing that we got a Bible to tell us about the love of God? You say, "Preacher, how is it revealed to us?" It's revealed to us by the truth of His book. I believe every page in my Bible. You know, a lot of people want to get them one of them new funny reading Bibles. One of them things. You say, "Well, I can't understand this Bible." Get saved, you'll be able to understand it. He said, "It's no respecter of persons." Amen. And boy, ain't this Bible something this morning. Oh, the truth of His book reveals God's love. And then 1 Peter 1:18, not only the truth of His book, but there's the trust of His blood. He said, 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers." He said, sacraments didn't save you, and religious policies didn't save you, and nice buildings didn't save you. But He said, "But with the precious blood of Christ." Can I get a witness right there this morning? "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The revealing of God's love. There's the truth of His book, and there's the trust of His blood. I'm trusting in one thing this morning, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was applied to me by faith through the grace of God and washed away my sins. And I thank the Lord that we can trust in that blood this morning. It's revealed by the truth of His book. It's revealed by the trust of His blood. And it's revealed by the testimony of a new birth. Look in verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. What are you talking about, Pastor? Revealed. Oh, simply the testimony of new birth. Aren't you glad He still saves those sinners? Well, I love to see people that's not saved, and the people just get saved, stand up and tell what happened to them, and they look at them like a calf at a new gate. Honey, let me tell you, I can tell you how God's love is revealed to me because He's still saving old sinners. Hey, ask some of them got saved this weekend, they think Jesus is alive. You ask an old boy spent his days in a crack house, in a pool room, and Jesus saved him, put heaven in him, and washed hell out of him. Honey, ask him what he thinks is this Bible's real and this gospel story is right. Religion lets you die and go to hell, but the darling Lamb of God, He's still saving those sinners and changing homes. I'm glad that His grace is sufficient this morning. And I love telling you about it because it happened to me. I don't know what happened to you, but I know what happened to me.
It's just, ain't it amazing how God can get a big old boy and just make him squall and cry and hug on everybody? It's amazing to me how he can reach out yonder and get an old boy and put church in his heart, make him show up every time the doors. I love to see them old rednecks get saved. They'll get your parking spot by the glory of God. I love old Brother Daniel's jacked up truck, praise God. Miss Amanda's got to have a step ladder to get in that thing. I love to see people get saved like that, amen. They'll get your parking spot. I love people get your parking spot. I love it when they come in and get your little nest you've been sitting in. Like that preacher said, son, and I wish I'd done thought about it, that your backside done molded. Son, God will mess your world up. But boy, it'll be in a good kind of mess up. Ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing about the testimony of a new birth? You remember when old Legion got saved? He wanted to go with Jesus. He said, no, buddy. Go home, tell your friends what great things Jesus has done for you. We ought to be telling everybody what happened to us. You say, preacher, I ain't got nothing to tell. Well, you can leave this morning and have something to tell. If you'd just trust Christ to save you, friend. Oh, my goodness, what a story. The love of God. The reading of God's love. The revealing of God's love. But then thirdly, the reaching of God's love. Aren't you glad that God's love can reach you? What if we couldn't have got to it or it couldn't get to us? It'd do us no good. But in Ephesians 3 and verse number 13. Ephesians 3 and verse number 13. Paul's writing, he said, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Brother Lee said, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He had granted you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, the reaching of God's love. You'll see in verse 17, there's the desire of God's reaching love. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How are you going to get him in your heart? By faith. The desire of God's reaching love. And then verse 18, there's the dimensions of God's reaching love. He said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Not only the desire of God's reaching love, but the dimensions of God's reaching love. What are the dimensions, Pastor? Well, I want to say God's love is higher than the heavens. It's deeper than the lowest hell. It's longer than the earth and it's broader than the sea. I'm glad God's love can reach down to where we are this morning. There's the desire of God's reaching. There's the dimensions of God's reaching. But then lastly, there's the declaration of God's reaching. Look in verse 20. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know the reason that we don't know more about the love of God? Because we think our problem is too big for our God. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we quit telling our God how big our problem is and start telling our problem how big our God is? Oh, honey, let me tell you, he said now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's big. That lets me know there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Young person, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Married couple, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Oh, I'm glad that God's love reached down to where I was and saved me from my sins. The love of God tells us we've seen the reading of God's love, the revealing of God's love, and the reaching of God's love. But then, I want you to notice, fourthly, there's a readiness of God's love. I'm glad God's love is always standing ready. for whenever we need it. You say, preacher, I'm out of love. Reach back and get it. It's waiting on you. God's love is ready. John 1 and verse 11. You ever notice this? John 1 and verse 11. I want to say, first of all, the readiness of God's love. His provision is ample. His provision is ample. In John 1 and verse 11, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. The Jews wouldn't have Him. They said, no, He's not a glorified enough king for us. Said He comes in riding on a little donkey, on a little mule. We want a king riding in on a white stallion. We'll get Him that way one day. We won't take this lowly Jesus, one that walked around the hills of Galilee in sandals, walked everywhere He went. We don't want that kind of king. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. And we ought to be glad they turned their back on Him. Because He turned to the Gentile race. And that's why we can preach the glorious gospel of the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus to you and to me this morning. Because the Jews said, we'll not have this Jesus. He said, fine, we'll turn to the Gentiles and open a door west. Isn't that amazing if the door to the east had opened and the Holy Ghost would have walked through there and left the western states out of business? But honey, because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ by God's compassion and mercy, He turned to the west. He got to saving those sinners and they got to walking toward this country. And revival broke out. Men began riding horses. Lord, I'm getting hogs on me. A hog could bite this morning. Man, He come up and down walking around in our country preaching the gospel that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And thank God now we can tell the old story. But God, now He's turned His love to the Gentile people. I want to say that in this closing remarks, the readiness of God's love, His provision is ample. Look what He says now in verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. My goodness, the provision is ample as many. That covers a lot of people, don't it? That hooks right in with whosoever, don't it? Then watch this. His provision is ample and then His power is great. Look what He says. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You couldn't be Christ-like if it weren't for that power in you. Honey, the day you believe the Holy Ghost moved in you and His business is to clean you out and clean you up and conform you into the image of Jesus. He's a God of fire. If things ain't burning up in your life around you, the God of fire don't live in you. But glory, I'm glad there's some fire in me this morning that's a burning up the old man, that's purging out the things that he ain't pleased with. When I lie, the Holy Ghost said you lied. When I cheat, He says you cheated. When I steal, He says you stole. Amen. When some of you cuss, say amen right there. He says you ought not cuss. Amen. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here. I'll bring you some. I said when you cuss. Some of you looking down, it ain't time to pray. We're preaching. He said to those that believe, He gave power to become. You ought to thank God there's a power in you that makes you more Christ-like. Ain't it something how you used to do, but now you can't do them things. Thank God. I know I ain't where I ought to be this morning, but I ain't where I used to be, glory to God. I used to be rolling up an ounce of weed a week. Amen. I used to cheat, lie, and steal. You preacher, oh yeah, me. I got my halo turned down. It'd help you turn your halo down. Amen. Quit propping this flesh up you got and surrender to God and say, I need help this morning, God. Honey, He breaks the addiction of sin if He lives in you. He said that He gives you the power to become. His provision's ample, His power's great, and His position is the highest. Look what He said. Lord Jesus, I'm a fixing to run out of here. He said, I give you the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Do you know any higher position that you could be than a child of God? Lord goodness. When I was born in the family of God, I got a whole lot more than what I thought I was getting. I'm a child of God. We ought to look like a child of God. We ought to smell like a child of God. We ought to act like a child. Go on and punch somebody with your elbow this morning. Say, he's a preaching to you. Go on, tell him it's all right. Said he gave you power to become the sons of God. Boy, what a difference Jesus has made when he come in my life. The readiness of God's love. Watch this, and I close. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Brother Zach, you received Him Friday morning. And Son, He gave you power to become the child of God. And that leaves me with this last point this morning. Not only the reading of God's love, the revealing of God's love, the reaching of God's love, and the readiness of God. I'm glad God's love's ready for you. It's waiting on you this morning. God's love's right here waiting on you this morning. You know how you get it? Just the way the Bible said. The receiving of God's love. John 1:11. Watch this. It means a lot. I've heard a lot of men say, you ain't got to receive nothing. How can you receive something? The Bible said we got to receive it. Look what he says. He came to his own, and his own what? Received him not. The reason some of you won't have the love of God, because you won't receive it. Watch this. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. God ain't going to force himself on you. But if you want to be saved, you can be saved. I'm glad I got that kind of gospel to preach out of this old book this morning. The readiness of God's love, but the reception of God's love. You've got to receive what God's done for you. And the only way you can receive that is by faith. Well, preacher, I've always believed in God. Yeah, but that don't get you saved. There's got to be a time when you realize you was a sinner, convicted by the Holy Spirit, and come to Christ by grace through faith. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I was raised in a good home. I've been brought to church all my life. I'm a good person. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Why do you think Jesus said ye must be born again? You must receive the love of God and be born. Miss Sheriff, y'all would come. You know something else about this that I noticed? When you love God, we're to love one another. Isn't that amazing that a man stood up and testified about what I was fixing to preach this morning? I think God knows what He's doing, don't you? Brother Gerald, can I ask you something, sir? You got saved in 1969. You've been saved a few years older than me. Your experience with Christ. How can I hate you, Brother Gerald, and love God? I can't do it. There's no way I can hate my brother and sister if I'm hooked up in this Bible. What a God. You know what some of you ought to do this morning? You ought to grab each other and say, honey, we need God down our house. Brother Gerald sung that song. Ain't you glad he stopped by your house one day? The love of God. How deep is it, preacher? Deeper than the ocean. Higher than the heaven. It's sufficient. Do you need that this morning? Let me ask something. Do you want to be saved? Some of you really been pondering that for a while. You know what you ought to do? You ought to drop down them guards this morning and surrender and say, "Dear God, I'm guilty. I'm just what that Bible says. I'm a sinner, lost and done without Jesus, but I want Him more than anything in my life. I receive what You've done for me by faith." Some of you in your homes, you ought to come and ask God to help you with what you need. I don't know what you need, but I know His love and grace is sufficient. Would you come while we stand and sing? Brother Dave, what's your number? 365, stand all around the house. You can.